All right, Genesis 37. Last time we viewed the animosity of Joseph's brothers toward him for two reasons. Number one, Jacob's love for Joseph. He loved Joseph more than all of his brethren. And for the gift of that coat of many colors that Jacob made evident that he loved Joseph, to gift him that beautiful coat. And the hatred of Joseph's brothers to even speak peaceably unto him had escalated to a point that they wanted to kill him. I mean, this is not just a little spat. These brothers, they want to kill him. It says that in verses 18 to 20, and when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. I mean, they were mad. They're willing to kill him and then hide him and then lie about it just to get rid of him. Was this not the attitude? Turn with me to John chapter 8. Was this not the attitude of the Jews toward the Lord Jesus Christ? John chapter 8, verse 56 to 59. The Lord said unto the Jews, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now they knew exactly what he said. They knew what he said. What he said, when he said that, he said, I'm God. That's what he said. I'm God. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now this man Joseph, remember, we're getting ready, as I said last time, to go through the rest of this book. And the rest of this book primarily is going to be dealing with the life of Joseph, the life of the generations of Jacob, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph is as clear a picture of Christ as we'll find in all of the scriptures, Joseph. So here, the scripture starts off tonight in Genesis 37. And it says that his brothers, they hated him. They hated him. His father loved him more. But the father himself said concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. You hear him. They hated him. Man by nature hates the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you think that they don't, you know, it's easy for somebody to say, well, I really don't think I'm hated. The scripture says that God's people are hated. They're hated for the God that they love. Because the God that God's people love, regenerated by the grace of God, the God that they love is the distinguishing God. He's the God that has a people that he's chosen. A people that the Lord Jesus Christ died for. This theory that men have that that the Lord loves everybody, whenever you tell them that Almighty God has got a people chosen before the foundation of the world, that Christ died only for the elect, and that everyone that the Father has given the Son, they're coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you tell them that man doesn't have a free will, and whenever you expose the little g God that they're serving, that little g God that accepts the best that a man can do, will accept a man's efforts, will accept a man's works, whatever they are, for salvation. When you tell them that he won't, now you're going to find out what they think. You're going to find out exactly what they believe. The brethren of Joseph hated him because he was beloved of the Father. They hated him. And then the Scripture tells us why they hated him, how it was escalated. What aroused that hatred? Well, let's look at verses 5 to 8. I'm going to try to look at verses 5 to 17 tonight. Let's look at verses 5 to 8 says, "And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words." Joseph dreamed this dream and he related it to his brothers. He said, "We were all out there working in the field and we were binding sheaves, whatever it was, grain, corn." And he said, "In my dream, my sheaf stood upright, and all of your sheaves prostrated themselves before mine. Your sheaves gave reverence unto me." And as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, do we not see the same effect that it had upon these brothers? They hated him more. They hated him already. They hated him because Daddy loved him. And now he told them this dream, and now it's just escalated into a state of just absolute frenzy. Whenever the Lord turned to Luke 19, whenever the Lord had just finished, Luke chapter 19, verse 12 to 14, he just finished calling Zacchaeus down from out of the sycamore tree. And the Lord's teaching, and he relates this parable to the people. Right after that calling of Zacchaeus, come down. Luke 19, and verse 12 to 14. He's teaching now, and the Lord says, "He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, and to return. He called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, and said to them, Occupy till I come. But the citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, We will not have this man rule over us." So he tells them, he said, I had a dream. My sheaves stood up. All of your sheaves are round. They gave obeisance. They made obeisance to me. And they said, "Are you saying that we're going to give obeisance to you, that you're going to have reign over us?" Here's Joseph. Beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God moving upon Joseph, giving him a dream, set forth the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Joseph's frankness and his truthfulness to tell his dream marked a spirit within him, a spirit of honesty. But more so it spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the truth. Now think about that dream. That's a picture of the glory of Christ. The one worthy. That all obeisance, all honor would be given unto Him. And if that dream wasn't offensive enough, Joseph dreamed another dream. And he told his brothers the same dream, that dream again back in Genesis 37, now in verses 9 to 11. He dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, "Behold, I've dreamed a dream more." Can you just imagine? Now look, they're already at this point. They hate his guts. He told them a story. "My sheep stood up and yours bowed down to me. And I've dreamed another dream. Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren. His father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And his brethren envied him. His father observed the saying. Jacob, when he heard the dream, he heard that second dream that Joseph had told. And the Spirit of God moved upon Jacob, Joseph's daddy, all these boys' daddy. He revealed to him the meaning of that second dream. He said that concerning the sun, the moon, the 11 stars, he observed that saying after he heard it, but He understood that when he said, when Jacob, Joseph said, he said, in verse 9, he said, "I've dreamed a dream, behold the sun." Jacob understood that to mean him. And the moon, his mother. Joseph's mother. And the 11 stars made obeisance. And the reason I know that, because the next passage of Scripture tells us that that's what he meant. He told his father to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou dreamest? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And his brothers envied him. But it says that Jacob observed the saying. He kept it. He rebuked him. He rebuked him. But then he retained it. He retained that saying. And he treasured it. He said, he realized something. God had spoken to him in a dream. Remember when he went and he dreamed a dream. He laid his head on a stone and he dreamed a dream and there was a ladder. And he went from the earth all the way to the heaven. He saw the angels ascending and descending. And God spoke to Jacob in a dream. And when Joseph comes and said, "I dreamed a dream, what I dreamed," Jacob gave note to that. He observed it, contemplated it. Now, these dreams, given by the inspiration of Almighty God, would absolutely come to pass, humanly speaking. Joseph was going to be elevated to a place of prominence in Egypt. He's going to be given responsibility of handling all the distribution of the corn from that country. And all these dreams would set forth, actually, what was going to be. Hold your place and turn to Genesis 42, just a few pages over. Genesis 42, verses 5 to 9. Lord willing, it'll take us a few weeks to get to this point. But this, I'm going to show you something. It's what Joseph said. "My sheep stood up. And your sheaves gave obeisance to me." Now, I know that that's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to bring that out in just a second. I'm going to show you that. You know that. But humanly speaking, look what happened. Genesis 42, verse 9. Or 5, I'm sorry. "And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came. The famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land. And it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, Whence come ye? They said, From the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, Ye are spies, to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. So Joseph, he would in time reveal himself to his brethren, setting forth the mercy that Almighty God has reserved for his people. But in the fullness of this passage, not only do we behold the mercy of God toward a people of his choosing, we also behold the surety of the respect and the honor that everyone born into this world is going to render unto the Lord Jesus Christ. In this world or the next, turn to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. This world or the next, whenever Joseph came and told his second dream, I dreamed another dream. He said, the sun, the moon, 11 stars. He was talking. He was talking under the inspiration of God. He was talking about his daddy and his mama and all of his brethren. But as Joseph is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22-23, the scripture says, Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow. Every tongue will swear. Now just hold your hand right there in Isaiah, because we're going to look at the scripture or two more. But every knee is going to bow. In this life right now, until the Lord is pleased to call a sinner, a hell-deserving sinner, until he's pleased to call them out, they don't care. They don't care. You can sit here and tell them all day long, but until God gives them a new heart to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ, to honor Him, to reverence Him, as the Lord of glory, they don't care. But they're not without excuse. Nobody is without excuse. God the Father, through the prophet Isaiah, look at Isaiah, just look there. Isaiah, turn back to page 2, to Isaiah 42. God the Father has declared, given command, concerning the reverence that is due unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. Isaiah 42:1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. So the Father has commanded. Everybody, you behold my servant. Behold him. And then God the Son, in Isaiah 65, verses 1 and 2, has given command. The Lord Jesus Himself, Isaiah 65, verse 1 and 2. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hand all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. So God the Father has said, Behold my servant. The Lord Jesus Christ says, Behold me. Behold me. And then the Spirit of God, turn over to John, Gospel of John chapter 1. The Spirit of God revealed to John the Baptist who he was, John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1, verse 29 to 32. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. So God the Father has commanded us. God the Son has commanded us. God the Spirit has commanded and pointed out the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to be bowed to. He's going to be honored. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. Like I said, in this life or the next. But he's going to be bowed unto. Well, the resentment and hatred toward Joseph because of his father's love, because of the Lord's message that was delivered through Joseph in these dreams, clearly reveals the hatred that carnal man has toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his oneness with the Father, and because of the message of the gospel, he's hated. Because of the Father's love for him, and because of the gospel that we preach. Turn to John 6, John chapter 6. The hatred that we see toward Joseph is a picture. It's a picture of man's resentment toward Christ. Look at John chapter 6, verse 57 to 66. John 6, verse 57. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Now he's declaring himself to be God. The Father's concerned with miracles, signs, and wonders, and he's telling them. He said, I'm telling you, this is what Joseph did. He told them the truth, and they hated him for it. They hated him when he told them the truth. He dreamed a dream. We have no control over our dreams, nonetheless. I was reading Mr. Robert Hawker. Hawker had got a little dictionary, and if you've got the privilege to have one, it's a real blessing. But he wrote a little article on dreams, and he said he was talking about how the Lord did speak through his people at times, and he said in these dreams, he said, just humanly speaking, he said, we have no power over our dreams. We have no power over our dreams. He said, dreams are unexplainable. You're asleep, and your conscience is awake. He said, you can hear the voices of those that have passed on. And they sound like themselves. And you can have conversations with them. And the dream may make no sense whatsoever. And I'll just tell you this. It just happened to me. I told Glenda yesterday this happened to me. I'd read that day before yesterday. I was contemplating. I wanted to see what Hawker had to say on these dreams. And he did go on to say that he said the Lord had spoken before in dreams. But then he warned us. He said, if somebody comes saying, I dreamed this, and if it's not consistent with these scriptures, he says it's not from the Lord. But anyway, after I had read that night, I don't know what time it was, middle of the night, and so help me, I heard my mother scream out, and I thought, when I woke up, immediately, I thought she was in the next bedroom. And then I remembered, no, my mom's not here anymore. But buddy, my heart was going a million miles an hour. It was real. It was real. It was real. This is what Hawker said. These dreams, they're you can't control them. You cannot control a dream. It goes the way it goes. You're asleep, but your conscience is awake. And he said, these dreams, you know that. They're just strange. But here the Lord, he's declaring himself to be God. This is the bread. I just said in my mind's eye, he's talking of his own. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew it himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Joseph related the truthfulness of the dreams. And they hated him. They hated him. Hated him for his father's love and for the truthfulness that he spoke. Is that not a picture of Christ? Is that not a picture of our blessed Lord's? Joseph's brothers knew when he was telling them of these dreams and the obeisance that was going to be given unto him. His brothers knew. Turn to Mark 6. His brothers knew. He's 17 years old. Mark chapter 6. He's 17 years old. And here he is. He's the next to the youngest. Benjamin was the youngest. Joseph was the next to the youngest. And here's all these others. They're all older. All bigger. And here's this young 17-year-old brother. And he's telling them what is to be. You're going to bow down to me. You're going to bow down to me. They hate him. It's just compounding. But that lack of respect, was that not a picture, again, of the Jews toward the Lord Jesus Christ? Look at Mark chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. When the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah, Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? They were offended at him. Here's Joseph, 17-year-old, telling them, you're going to bow down to me. You're going to do obeisance to me. Mom and Dad too. All of you. You're going to bow down. And they hated him. Back in Genesis 37, verse 12, 14. His brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem, come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he went. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Now, the first thing I noticed in that passage we just read, how sweetly does the Spirit of God, even in the state of hatred. Now you remember this, they hate him. They hate him. They hate him enough. They want to kill him. They want to. They want to. But listen how sweetly the Spirit of God moved upon Jacob, Joseph's dad, to say in verse 12, and his brethren went to meet their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. They were his earthly brothers. There's no doubt about that. They hated him. But again, as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, consider the hatred that we have. Turn to Ephesians 2. The hatred that we have, born in Adam, sons of Adam, fallen creatures of the dust, and we by nature, the carnal mind, is enmity against him and hates him, but we're his brethren. All of the sheep, the chosen, the elect, the remnant, the bride, we're his brethren. We're his brethren. And here's Jacob telling him, he said, I want you to go search out your brethren, see how they're doing. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life, manner of walk, in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. They hated his guts. Jacob told him, he said, I want you to go and find your brethren. Find those that are of this family. These brothers that's out there in Shechem, they had no idea of what was to come. They had no idea the famine that would soon arise in Canaan. That famine that pictured the spiritual famine of our soul. They had no idea. We don't either. We didn't either. Till the Lord revealed to us, we didn't know that our soul was in famine. We didn't know that. We didn't know that we were dead in trespasses and sins. But that's, here again, that famine that was to come. Here's the Lord preparing to protect his people. That spiritual family from which the Lord of glory must redeem us and save us and deliver us from, only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom Joseph is the type. Joseph is that picture. Before we had any idea of our need, God had provided a lamb. Jacob tells him, he said, now listen, your brothers gone out there. They're out there. Go feed their father's flock. I want you to go. I'm going to send you. I will send you, verse 13. Send thee unto them. And I want you to listen. Whenever Jacob sent Joseph to find his brethren, here's what he said. He said, I want you to go and see whether it be well with thy brethren, with thy flocks, and bring me word again. Go, I want you to go and see. The marginal reading says, see the peace of thy brethren. And Joseph, the son that was loved more than all of his other brethren, as he was sent by his father, Jacob, to see about the welfare of Jacob's family, oh, what a beautiful picture we have of God's mercy to send the glorious Lord Jesus Christ into this world to see how it fares with us. I mean, he had always loved us, chosen us in him, but he was going to have to come into this world and see how it fared, see if it's well, see how it goes with them. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. I'm going to start to wrap this up. Hebrews chapter 2. He was going to have to go out there and find them. Make sure they're doing okay. What a beautiful picture of God's mercy. To send the Lord Jesus Christ and to have the report of His finished work brought to Him. Now you go out there and you find them, see how they're doing, and you come back and tell me. You come back and tell me. That's what He said. We said, I'll read it for you. You're over in Hebrews chapter 2. Hold your place right there. Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock of Shechem? Come, I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, Here am I. And he said unto him, go, I pray thee, see whether it's well with thy brethren, well with the flocks, and bring me word again. Now I want you to look in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 to 13. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. I just, when I read that, just that moment, I think, you know, humanly speaking, can you only imagine that Joseph, now just humanly speaking, if I know that somebody hates my guts, especially if I knew they wanted to kill me, but you know, my attitude would be, I don't want to be around you. I'll just avoid you. I just don't want to be there. I'm not comfortable around you. I know what you think about me. I get it. If you have that much animosity toward me, think of the animosity that we have by nature toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Hated Him without a cause. Verse 11 again. For both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one. For which cause He's not ashamed to call them brethren. Saying, I will declare Thy name unto My brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto Thee. And again I will put My trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Joseph was sent of Jacob. He said, you go find your brethren. See if it's well with them. Come back and tell me how they're doing. Tell me. You know, there's one mediator. It was Jacob the father. Here's the 11 sons. One of them is Joseph. There's 11 sons. Joseph was the 12th one. There was 11 sons that hated Joseph. But Joseph was going to go and find his brethren. But before I look at those final verses 15, 17, I want you to notice one other thing concerning Joseph's attitude. He said in verse 13, Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And listen to Joseph's answer. And he said to him, here am I. Here am I. I want you to go find your brethren. Here am I. Right here. And concerning the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, concerning the Father's commission to send Him into this world, this is the work that was given the Lord Jesus Christ. That of all that the Father had given Him, He should lose nothing. And this was the Lord Jesus Christ's attitude toward the Father's will. John 4:34, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish the work. I want you to go, Joseph, find your brethren. Find them over in Shechem. Tell me how they do. Here am I. I'm ready to go right now. Well, in verses 15 to 17, after this we'll close. A certain man found him. And behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence. For I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. Joseph's path was crossed. Turn with me to Ezekiel 34. Joseph's path was crossed by, Scripture says, a certain man. And as I read that passage of Scripture concerning that certain man that knew where Joseph's brethren were, he knew where they were. He said, I heard him say that they were going to Dothan. I could not help but think of the Spirit of God that knows where the people of God are. And he blows as the wind. And he seeks them out. And when it pleases God, that's what Paul said, when it pleased God, separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace. Whenever the Spirit of God is pleased to draw one of God's people to his own, he knows where they are. He knows where they are. They're like the one that lost. I left the 99 that needed no being cared for. In fact, there was one though that was lost. He had to go find him. He's going to go search him out. Ezekiel 34, verses 11 to 15. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. What was Joseph doing there? His daddy had sent him to go find the brethren. Go find your brethren. Check on them. See how they're doing. And bring me word back concerning them. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he's given me, I should lose nothing. Ezekiel 34:11, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he's among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries. Will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture. And upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold. In a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. Here was a beautiful picture of our precious Savior, beloved of the Father. And he sent him into this world with a message of redemption. And he was hated for it. He came up unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to come to sons of God. And here was Joseph, the submissive servant. Daddy sent him and said, go out there and find your brethren. Tell them, here am I. Whatever you want, that's what I want to do. My meat's to do the will of you that sent me. And he found him. He's going to find him. Well, Lord willing, next week we're going to find out. He did find him. And when he found him, they didn't give him a very good reception. But here we see again the suffering of our precious Savior in his work to come get what he suffered in this life that we might have life. I pray God had blessed this time.